Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Genesis chapter 39, where we see that Satan never tempts us with ugly things or things that don't appeal to us. He is very aware of what our weakness is. But the question is, are we? In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Genesis chapter 39, where we see Joseph fleeing Potiphar's wife and choosing holiness. More on that now. Here's Pastor Dave.
I'm not always going to do what God wants me to do because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Please, church, whether you go here or you go somewhere else, exercise mercy in other people's lives. Love them and treat them like you want to be treated, like you want them to handle you when you are down and out. Satan doesn't back off. What a battle we are in, aren't we? It is tough. By Wednesday, we're ready for refuel, aren't we? We need to be refueled. We need to be in fellowship. I have such a vision and such a passion to see this place, people praying over each other. There will be spiritual activity that goes on here. I'm not getting weird. I already am weird. I'm not getting touchy-feely, strange things. What I'm saying, though, is that God has birthed in me a vision, a passion to see his people doing what we are called to do. Be the body of Christ. Hold each other accountable. Not going up to each other and saying, what'd you do today? No, really, what did you do today? You did not eat that for lunch, you liar. You broke your diet. How could you? I saw you smoking. I saw you walk out of the get. No. That's not what holding each other accountable is. Get off your high horse and look in the mirror. Hold each other accountable. Hey, how you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? I've been praying for you. Hey, God wants to give you victory, man, in this area of your life, and I know he's going to do it. Remember he said he who started the good work in you, he'll be faithful to complete it. And on that note, man, pray for me because this is what I'm going through. Let's pray together right now, in fact, because we both need it, don't we? You see, that is what holding each other accountable is. That is iron sharpening iron. Words of wisdom being given to each other. Words of knowledge. Man, you listen to these talk shows. You listen to these radio programs on the secular stations. My goodness, we are getting indoctrinated and influenced by men and women who are whacked out of their minds. We need the Holy Spirit to move among us. We need the Holy Spirit to move through us. We need the Holy Spirit to move in us. Let this place be a place where the Holy Spirit of God can work the way he wants to work. Amen? That he is not constrained. That he is not, or rather, that he is not held back. That he is not grieved. That he is not quenched. When you find yourself in sin, repent quickly. And let us be used to stir up one another all the more as we see the return of Jesus Christ approaching. Because we are in a battle. This is a serious warfare. This is no joke. Satan knows his time is short. Satan knows the end is near, better than you do, better than I do. And he's unloading all of his arsenal, and he's doing everything he can to wound and hinder and hurt the church, to just completely devastate the church's witness. People think church is a joke. Do you know that? Maybe you're here tonight, and you think church is a joke. You've thought, oh, everybody's a hypocrite. Nobody's true to what they say. Nobody's real. And that's your beef, man. You cannot stand the hypocrisy. You cannot stand the phoniness of the church, the men behind these pulpits, because men are putting themselves in a position of being glorified when they don't belong to be there. And so there's been disappointment after disappointment, heartache after heartache, and the church is being mocked. The church is being scorned. Sin is abiding in the church. Pastors are getting busted for adultery, for raping children, for molestation. I mean, it's disgusting what the name of the church has done to the name of Jesus Christ. Would we please raise the bar in this fellowship? No. Don't look around and say, you need to raise the bar. No, Lord, would you raise the bar in my life? Would you start here with me? This is such a war. We don't need to be condemning each other. Jesus said, I didn't come in this world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. I came into this world to save the world. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who's standing at the throne of God, accusing us day and night. We don't need to do that in the church. We need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up, and we need to exhort one another in love and meekness. Why? Well, because of verse 10. It came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. You want to talk about a nag? It's Satan. He's not going to shut up. He's not going to leave you alone. He's going to haunt you. He's going to come after you continuously, day by day. But check out the wisdom of this young guy, Joseph, a guy that's some 21 or 22 years old. As this is happening day by day, it says that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Listen, he wouldn't even entertain the temptation. So many of us put ourselves in such an ugly situation because we're not willing to flee like the Lord said to. Joseph wouldn't even listen to her. If you don't listen to somebody, that means that there's a distance between you. There was no text messaging. There was no FaceTiming one another. There was no way for her to speak to him because he wouldn't even come near her. He wouldn't even entertain the thought, maybe I should lay with her. She is hot. She does look good. I've never even had sex before. I'm 21 or 22. Everybody's had sex by now. I'm here. Nobody knows me. I've been hurt. It's like comfort to me. I need that companionship. I don't have anybody here. I'm just a slave Hebrew kid. I can't even speak the language as good as these people could. Man, it would be so good to get in bed with her. She's older. She's good. It's sneaky. Something fun. Something different. An Egyptian woman. He wouldn't even go near her. He wouldn't listen to her. He wouldn't let her speak to him. He wouldn't listen to her, come have sex with me. But it tells us in verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And no, it's not talking about going to the bathroom. What he was doing there is working in the house. And there was none of the men of the house there within. Interesting. This was a planned plot. Nobody was around. Let's see the character of Joseph. Oh, it's one thing, right? Like we said before. Oh, I love Jesus. I've served Jesus. But now no one's around. Now nobody will know. It's a secret. And it says in verse 12 that she caught him by his garment and she said, lie with me. That's so scary. And he left his garment in her hand, and it tells us that he fled and he got him out. Now, the language, the original language, indicates that he ran into the streets somewhat naked. I mean, the coat that he wore over his garments was ripped off of him, and he ran. And there's something to be said of run, Forrest, run, isn't there? I mean, many times, or sometimes I should say, it's cowardice to run. But in this instance, it's bravery and it's wisdom. And if you have to do it, you ought to do it because it's the last resort to get away from that thing that will ruin who God has established you to be. It will give opportunity for the heathen to mock our Lord. And I don't want to give any place for that in my life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to give any place for that in my life. My desire, my heart, my passion, my burden is to say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to glorify you. I want people to see Jesus when they see me living within me. I want to be a light that shines. I want nothing to come into my life that will put out the fire that you've set within me. I want to be ablaze for you, Lord. I don't want anything, you see, because sin is what breaks fellowship with God. And honestly, as much as God forgives you and as much as God loves you, too much is given, much is required, the more you learn of the Lord, the more that you know of the Lord, and then you sin anyways. I'm telling you what I believe. You definitely jeopardize the full anointing and calling of God upon your life. I'm convinced of it. I believe in my heart, and this you take it up with the Lord and yourself, I believe that David was never the same after he sinned with Bathsheba. That's my position. That's my conviction. I believe that God had more beef with David than he did with Bathsheba because he was the anointed one. He was the king. He was the one that God had a call upon his life. In fact, the scriptures say concerning today that there's a greater judgment for preachers and teachers because why? We study and we know the word. You come here, you learn the truth, and then you just put it to the side and do what you want to do anyways. You have a greater judgment than the person that is ignorant to what is sin. I believe that David was never the same. Did God use him? You bet he did. We have the Psalms because of David. Many of those Psalms are written because of his sin. God certainly used him, but I believe, my conviction is that he was never the same again as he was before. He was never the king that he was before that sin. I am telling you guys in all truth, one of my greatest fears, I've said it before, I want every single ounce and smidgen of what God has for me in my life. I want to be the most anointed, powerful, passionate preacher, teacher, father, husband, brother, son, uncle, whatever I am that God has called me to be for the glory of his name. I want nothing to get in my way. And I am doing everything I can to do what Paul said, I believe, the author of Hebrews, casting away every weight, every hindrance that would keep me from running the race. Are you doing that? Or are you giving yourself an opportunity? Joseph fled. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He said, run from everything or anything that stimulates youthful lust. It's your computer? Smash it. It's your job? Quit. It's your friends? Ditch them. How radical are you for Jesus? How willing are you to live for his name? With service, there's always sacrifice. God's challenging you tonight. I know it because he's challenged me all week. Are you willing to lay that thing down on the altar tonight? Oh, there's going to be given opportunity. Are you willing to bring your Isaac, your idol, the thing that has exalted itself above God? Are you willing to bring it to him tonight and put it on the altar and say, I'm done. I've had it. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to do what Paul said in Romans chapter 6, the instruments of my body, all that I am, I'm going to dedicate to the use of the Lord. I'm not going to use it as instruments of sin any longer tonight, not tomorrow. Not Sunday on communion because that's, you know, that's more spiritual and there's music playing and we get juice and crackers and I just get into it more than I feel. No. No putting it off. Today is the day of salvation. Yes, from your sins and coming to Christ, but also from the sins that you're in bondage to in Christ. Today is the day that God wants to deliver you. Today is the day that God is calling you home. Will you do it? Will you come? Will you lay it on the altar? He fled. He was doing everything that he can to get away from this woman. And it tells us in verse 13, it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and that he fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and she spoke unto them, verse 14, saying, Potiphar has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. You see, the Egyptians did not like Hebrews, especially Hebrew shepherd boys, because they despised them. They detested them. They looked down on them. They had no respect for them, especially a guy like Joseph, because Joseph was promoted. Joseph was raised up. They were no doubt jealous of him. So Potiphar's wife, she's just been mocked. She's just been made a fool of. I believe that she was standing there naked when she called Joseph on and she ripped that garment off. I believe she was totally naked. It doesn't say it. It doesn't matter. This is just my opinion. They didn't have Victoria's Secret back then, but if they did, maybe she had on some lingerie. She was doing something to seduce him. I'm telling you, the temptations of the enemy get more intense, more intense, more intense. They don't stay where they are. He makes it as most difficult for you as possible. I believe at this point, this was it. Now was go time, and she did everything she could to literally flaunt her stuff. And she's there naked or in some type of lingerie or some type of sexual appealing clothes, and she grabs the garment of Joseph, and she calls to the other servants, and she makes up this whole lie. She says, this Hebrew boy that Potiphar brought into our house. Middle of verse 14, he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me, and he fled and he got out. And she laid up his garment, verse 16, by her until her Lord came home. She made up this story. He raped me. Isn't it amazing? Real quick, I'm sorry, there's so much application. This is ridiculous. But isn't it amazing to you, just like Amnon and Tamar, Amnon loved Tamar, his sister, so much that he was sick over how bad he wanted her. Then when he raped her, then when he had sex with her, he hated her, the scripture says, more than he loved her. That's sin. That's temptation. Oh, you want that thing so bad. It looks so good to you. But I guarantee you this, whatever that fruit was that Eve bit into, afterwards, it was not as good as it looked. The aftertaste is never as good as it appears to be. And I can guarantee you that's how it always is. Just like here, this woman was in love with Joseph. She had Joseph pictures all over her room. She had Joseph pictures all on her phone. I mean, she was obsessed. She sweated Joseph. She everything was Joseph, Joseph, Joseph. Remember, he was a Tim Tebow. Then the minute he denies her, the minute he rejects her, that quickly the emotions change and extreme. She goes from hitting on him and being obsessed with him to seeking to get him killed. You see, in this time, in this culture, somebody that raped, especially somebody in Potiphar's position, their wife or a woman, it was given to them the right to execute them. This is Pharaoh's head executioner's wife. Gang, she was looking to get him killed. You see how quick your emotions change when you're being tempted by sin? It looks so good. It looks so glorious. And now all of a sudden, she hates his guts and wants him dead. I'm going to warn you tonight, if you don't turn from your sin, if you don't stop tonight, if you don't repent tonight, I will guarantee you this, that whatever it is that you're in bondage to, that you're so obsessed with right now, that you like so much right now, that you enjoy so much right now, one day you'll hate it. You'll despise it. Sin's pleasurable, but don't forget, it for a season. And then it's over. And the wages of sin is death. She makes up this story. And in verse 17, it says, she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which you, Potiphar, have brought unto us, he came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me, and he fled out. And it came to pass, verse 19, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant do to me, that his wrath was kindled. But please notice, Bible students, nowhere does it tell us that his wrath was kindled against Joseph. It just says that his wrath was kindled. You see, I believe that he had some suspicions. I believe that he had some knowledge of what his wife was really like, and he certainly knew what Joseph was like. He certainly knew his character. Well, how do you say that, Dave? Well, read on. It tells us this, verse 20, and Joseph's master took him, and he put him into the prison, a place, listen, where the king's prisoners went. Not a place where the criminals went, but a place where the king's prisoners went. There was two different prisons of this time. He didn't kill him. The head executioner didn't kill the man who he was entitled to kill for trying to rape his wife. You think he believed Potiphar's wife? Potiphar, you think he believed his wife? Or do you think he believed Joseph? You see, integrity, character, it will get you a long way. What did I say in the very beginning? If we worry about our character and handle our character, God will handle our reputation. But if we are always constantly looking for our reputation to be exalted, then our character in the process will be ruined. There's no way you could have a good reputation and focus on your reputation and maintain a good godly character. But you see, when you do this very thing that Joseph did, God will have your back. He put him in a prison. He didn't kill him. And in verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph, verse 22. All that was in his hand, all of the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Now watch this, verse 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Interesting. Who else are we told of that didn't pay attention to what was under Joseph's hand? You could say it out loud. Potiphar. Who's the head of the prison that Joseph's in? Potiphar. The head executioner. He didn't look to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You see, the point that I just made to you, if you're doubting me right now, will become more manifest when we get into chapter 40. We can't do it tonight. Read ahead. You'll see. It will tell us in verse 3 of chapter 40 that the captain of the guard charged Joseph with all that he had. The captain of the guard is the same person that's described to us when it's described of Potiphar in verse 1 of chapter 39. Potiphar put Joseph in his prison. And he exalted him to be overseer of all the prisoners, and everything that was in his hand, he entrusted to him, and he didn't even bother for Joseph to give him an account. Do you see how faithful God is? Do you see how awesome God is? Now God has Joseph in prison, and he's going to be there till he's 30 years old. He's in his 20s. I don't know exactly how old he is. Again, I know he got to Egypt at 17, and I know that he stands before Pharaoh at 30 to declare to him what his dream meant. He's somewhere in his 20s. I can tell you this, he's in prison for over 2 years at least. He's in there for a really long time. He's in the school of the hard knocks. Yes, what God revealed to him chapters ago of the moon and the stars and the sun bowing down before him and his brothers bowing down before him and his parents bowing down before him, these things were going to happen, but Joseph wasn't yet that man. You see? He wasn't yet that man, and God had to do that refiner's fire in his life. God had to do that, take it to the woodshed type thing. Not the woodshed in the sense where he was disciplined, but he had to bring him to this place of just like he did with Paul in the deserts of Arabia. He had to bring him away for a few years before that public ministry. Just like he did with Moses. Those weren't 40 wasted years like many declare. Those were 40 vital years, important years before he can go forth before Pharaoh and lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land. Anybody that God uses, there's the school of the hard knocks. There's a time of being in some type of prison. It's all preparatory for what God's going to do later in your life so that you can be that man, so that you can be that woman that he wants you to be. So hold tight. Don't get discouraged. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Because in due time, in due season, God is going to lift you up. Amen? God is going to use you tremendously. Man, I wish we can get into chapter 40, but we can't. It's so rich. So deep. Read ahead. Study it ahead. We'll get into it next week.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.